and stuff for him. So, right on. All right, I want to go back real quick. My heart's still kind of in that place of worship with that last song. Kim's been talking about it for a couple weeks, and it's been resonating with me that I will not let the rocks cry out for me, right? And just in a place of worship, I'm like, oh, those are awesome lyrics that he says that even if no one worships him, if no one cries out to him, then the rocks will do it for us, right? And so, and then worshiping him with all of our soul, all of our everything that we have within us, like it should incite something within us that stirs up a passion, like a desire to worship him. And so that was cool. Thank you, worship team, for leading us in song. It is October 17th. Isn't that crazy? I'm feeling it already. I know for me, my year kind of revolves around the school year. So starting October 1st, we jump into school, and things like there's a new cycle that starts, new patterns that kind of form for me. And right about this time every year, it hits me that the holidays are upon us. And I know for Haley as well, she almost every year goes into like almost a hypomanic phase where she only needs to sleep like 4 hours a night, and she's doing stuff, and she's going. And then all of a sudden, before you know it, it's 2023, and we're like, oh my gosh, where did the last 3 months go? And so what we wanted to do today, or the plan for these next 3 weeks, is to start preparing ourselves for the holidays, and we've titled this new series that we're starting, Ready My Soul. We're coming off 2 weeks with Mallory giving us some soul care, talking about the brain and how our brain functions, and then issuing us into a time of release into God and allowing him to kind of take over and take control. So what I want to do today is give us some practical steps to prepare for the holidays and really prepare our hearts for the coming season. The verse that's kind of been sitting on my heart this morning is, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will rise up on wings like eagles and soar. So let me just take a minute. I want to pause for myself, for my heart, and for you as well, to kind of just get ourselves into a place of readiness, as Kim prayed, that we would be ready to receive this morning something from the Lord. So let's pray. God, it's in a crazy busy world with chaos and hectic things going on in our lives all around us. Our children bouncing off the walls, eating too much sugar already. Our jobs that occupy our minds. Our home lives and all the tasks, the honey-do list, the things that need to get fixed and the things that need to get prepared for the season ahead of us. Driving around town and in crazy traffic, traveling from here to the Bay Area, to Stockton, to Modesto. The crime, the chaos that we hear on news, and the bickering and the fighting between political sides, and all the things that we want to accomplish in the midst of all of that. God, we come to you this morning knowing that we need to find rest in you. So we surrender it all. We lay it down at your feet this morning and ask that you would prepare our hearts for an upcoming season that will only be enhanced by all of these things, that will feel like an overload of chaos. And prior to that coming, God, we just want to say in the midst of it, we praise you, we worship you, we know that you are in control and you're sovereign, and that you have a plan and a purpose for us. And we ask, Lord, that you would use us to glorify your name. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, so we have this term, holidays, right? Holidays. It actually comes from the expression of holy day, right? Holy day. And this is the season, I mean, For me, I'm not a huge fan of Halloween, so I kind of start preparing for Thanksgiving already. Some people love Halloween. That's cool, too, if you're into the All Saints Day and remembering those who have passed. I can see value in that as well. It's just not my favorite. Some of you might like it. Some cultures kind of see this time as vacation, and I do, too. I get a week off from school on Thanksgiving week and a couple weeks for the Christmas vacation, and it's a vacation time. But aside from all of that, these are holy days in the Christian calendar, Christmas especially, where we start to celebrate something that changed our lives forever, that changed the course of human history. The Jewish calendar also has a time of holy days, which I'll get into later, but you'll see during this time, this fall season, there are a bunch of different holidays or holy days set up throughout the Jewish calendar. If you look in Nehemiah, they're in chapters 8 and 9 and 8, in verses, you know, a bunch of different verses, and they're talking about festivals and the lights and the celebrations and the remembrances of all the Old Testament prophets and leaders and things that have happened throughout all of our religious history, and we celebrate those things. It reminds us of Thanksgiving, of all the things that we can be thankful for. It reminds us of Jesus' birth. It reminds us of New Year's and new things to come, right? But how should we celebrate those holidays, and how can we remain in a place of thanksgiving and joyfulness throughout each of those? Let's be honest, okay? We have developed a pattern of sucking at waiting, right? We are not good at waiting for things nowadays. And all the youngins had just taken off, but they wouldn't get these references anyways. But I remember when I was growing up, one of our family favorite TV shows was Home Improvement. And you guys ever watch Home Improvement? Tim the Tool Man Taylor. Right, and we would wait for that show to come on prime time. I believe it was like 5:30 or 6 o'clock. I remember it was right after dinner, and we would wait for it. Like we'd be waiting for dinner, and be like, "Okay, oh, it's almost 5:30. The show's almost on." And if you missed it, you missed it. Right? It played at 5:30. Go to 6 or 6:30. If it was an hour long, I don't remember. But then you would have to catch a rerun. Right? And I don't think our kids even know what a rerun is. Because they're just like, oh, just fast forward or just rewind it. Just start it back at the beginning. There wasn't that option as a kid, right? You had to wait for it until the next day. Or do you remember waiting for a phone call at home? Like the phones that they hang up on the wall. My brother and I, we would always, if we were watching TV or we're sitting somewhere else in the house and the phone would ring, it would be like a dead out sprint to see who could get to the phone first, right? Or if you were waiting for that phone call, like a specific phone call for something, you would have to sit around and wait for them to call you. Right? And there was no caller ID, so you could pick it up and be like, "Hello, hello," and like, "Hello, would you be interested in changing your health service account?" Oh man, that's the wrong call. No, thanks. And you'd wait. You'd have to wait for that phone call. We'd wait right by the phone. Of course, I'd always win. I'd beat my brother to the phone and answer it before him. Or how about the dreaded wait time for dial-up internet, right? Where you go, and you have to wait for it to log on. And then once you did log on, the screen would slowly upload, right? I read some statistics where this next generation has an attention span of less than 8 seconds. Less than 8 seconds. That means if you're not changing the topic or captivating their attention, every 8 seconds you lose them, right? I mean, I feel like I'm still kind of in that older millennial stage where I have some tolerance built up for waiting, and I can sit through long sermons at church, and I can track with you. And so some of you guys might be able to track with me through the 30-minute sermon that I'll preach today. But our next generation, if it's not 8 seconds, they're gone. That's why Instagram, you know, TikTok, all these videos are 30 seconds or less. So you can download information so rapidly and so fast. If we had to wait for our internet to load like it used to, we'd probably lose our minds. Jesse would be overloaded with business. All right? They'd be calling them every single day. So we've got to develop a practice of waiting with intention. And so what I'm processing with waiting with intention is it's what we call preparation. If you're waiting with intention for something, you are preparing for that event. And when we wait with intention, we begin to prepare the elements or components for that awaited day or time or thing that you are waiting for. And so we want to prepare our hearts for this upcoming season. And some of us do this on a daily without even knowing it. So if you think about it, when you wake up in the morning, you prepare for the day in some way. For some of us, that's going through our morning routine, wake up, take a shower, get dressed, brush your teeth, take your meds, eat breakfast, and go to work, right? All by a certain amount of time. You are preparing for the day. We also prepare for presentations. If you prepare, or if you have presentations at work that you have to do, you prepare your content, you review your slides, you might practice it, you might time it, right? Those are all things that I do when I'm preparing a sermon. You go over your content so that you know what you're speaking on, so that when you stand up front and you're delivering something, you're ready for it. I want us to be ready for what is coming. We also prepare for house guests. We have people coming, well, most of us prepare for house guests, right? And it's okay, you do certain things, right? You could be preparing the food. You could be cleaning your restrooms. You could be mowing your lawn. You could be sweeping or dusting or vacuuming or getting ready for the company that's coming. You do the dishes. If they're staying the night, you're making the beds. You're doing the linens. You're picking up all those little Legos that are on the floor so that they're not busting their toes or breaking their feet, right? You prepare for the house guests. Or, this is a fun one for me, over the last couple months, I've been preparing to run a marathon, right? I want to run a marathon. It's one of those life goals that I have. I know, it's dumb. I don't know why anybody does it. But I started in August, and I got an accountability group of five different guys that I love to death. They're my old roommates in college and fitness gurus and all that stuff, and they've been challenging me month by month setting these goals. But it all started with a plan. Okay, this month I'm going to start by running the mile, see how fast I can run the mile. And then I ran 2 miles. And then it was like 3 miles every other day, and then I just wanted to die. And now I can run 6 miles now, and that 7th mile is like, wow, how am I going to overcome this? I still have, you know, 9 months. To get up to my goal of running the full 26 miles, but it doesn't just happen. If I went out and tried to run a marathon tomorrow, I probably wouldn't be able to walk for the rest of my life. Maybe that's a little dramatic, but I wouldn't be able to walk for a couple days at least, because my knees wouldn't be able to handle it. My body, my organs wouldn't be able to endure that kind of strenuous activity on the body for that amount of time. For a lot of us, we put in a lot of preparation for big events, weddings, funerals, all the little details that go in order. So when we start to look at passages of Scripture, right, throughout the Bible, we see elements of this patience exhibited throughout all of history, a patient endurance that God encourages for all of His people. If we go back to the Old Testament, right? I started just to think off the top of my head, where do we see images of this waiting? And I was like, Moses. Moses traveled throughout the wilderness for 40 years, waiting to go into the promised Holy Land. And then he didn't even get to go in, right? He was waiting patiently on the Lord. And that's not to say that he didn't falter or waver from wanting to be in there and trying to encourage things to happen faster than they should, right? All of those things are emotions and examples of what to not do while you're waiting, right? Or I looked at Jacob. This one was discouraging, especially for some younger people. Jacob waited 7 years. He went to ask for a hand in marriage to marry Rachel. And he said, "Well, serve in my fields for 7 years, and I'll give you her hand." And then he was tricked. And he said, well, actually, I have to marry off my older daughter first. Then you can have Rachel. So you have to work another 7 years. And he waited, and he worked 14 years in order to receive a hand in marriage for Rachel. Abraham and Sarah, they were promised to have offspring as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the shore. And they had to wait 90 years for their firstborn. There's something special in the waiting. There's something significant in having to wait on the Lord. I will wait on the Lord. Because in the waiting, God is there. In the waiting, God is with us. The Jews waited thousands of years for a Messiah to come, and now we currently are in this state of waiting for Jesus to come back again. In the waiting, we anticipate what is to come. So, in lieu of the coming season, we want to spend a couple weeks preparing our hearts, right, and our souls for Christmas, for Thanksgiving, and then for an exciting new year, 2023, with all the exciting things that can happen in a new year. I don't know about all of you guys, but when I went into the Dollar Tree to get some Halloween decorations, and I saw the whole row of Christmas decorations that was already out. I was like, I don't know if I'm ready for this. I don't know if I'm ready, but I want to be ready. Okay, I want to be ready. Here's a couple verses for us. See if I can. It's always either up or down. Which one is it, Daniel? There it is. Okay. Proverbs 24, 27, and Nancy, I think it's the NIV. Okay. She asked me if I could say what version it's from. I believe it's the NIV. Proverbs 24, 27 tells us, prepare your work outside, get everything ready for yourself in the field, and after that, build your house. Okay. It would be foolish for us to think that we could build a house if we did not have everything set in order to complete the house. That's what Proverbs is telling us. Use the wisdom to prepare for what is to come. In Luke chapter 14, verse 28, Jesus gives us some analogies. He says, for which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Or in just a couple verses later, he says, or what king, going out to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? He said, prepare. Prepare your hearts for what is to come, and don't walk into something just expecting for that magic of the holiday season to encounter you in a way without you putting in the work and without you counting the cost for what it's going to require of you to complete the work. So what can we do to prepare ourselves and get everything ready for the holy days that are imminently upon us? Okay? And I wanted to start with, and these are the easy ones, right? Like, these are obvious, but they're so critical and so important for our preparation of the season. Daniel, this thing's not working for me. Just go ahead and go to the next one. Okay, prayer. Prayer is powerful. Prayer is a time for us to invite Jesus into every part of our season. And I know a lot of us fall into a habit of prayer. I do this too, where it just becomes either a transitional moment for us or almost a religious practice, a traditional practice, where we'll say thank you before a meal. We'll say a prayer for our kids before bed, or we'll wake up and say a morning prayer. All good things. Like, I'm not discouraging those types of prayer. I engage in them as well. But the type of prayer that I am encouraging for this season is a meditated time of inviting Jesus into all of these areas of your life. It's a time of sitting and waiting, a time of conversing, a time where you're not just speaking, but you're listening for a response. In preparation of our season to come, we need to be more engaged in prayer than we normally are. because there's going to be more things, more chaos, more hectic activity going on in our life that we need Jesus to enter in. So we've got to pray. We've got to pray. The second thing is to plan. And I encourage this for every family, every person who has that list of holiday things that you want to get done. We have a long runway here. We're starting this 6 weeks before Thanksgiving so that you guys can have time to do these things, right? Really, I encourage you to sit down with your family or your significant other or your mom and dad or your friends or whoever it is that you spend the holidays with and you do these things with, and plan out not necessarily exactly all the little things that you want to do or all the traditions, but how many of those do you really want to do? If you're like, okay, the staples for the season are Thanksgiving dinner, going out to get a Christmas tree the day after, a Christmas party, maybe limit it to one or two, depending on what your capacity is, right? And that may mean that you have to go through the hard times of feeling left out because you didn't get invited to this one or this one. Don't worry about those. You have a goal and you have a plan and your heart is prepared for those things, right? Plan them out. Plan out guilt-free. Say, hey, I want to engage in two parties with these people here this time. And you take control of the season and what you are going to do. Don't let all of the minuscule things occupy all of the time where you didn't want to spend them anyways. If it's all the shopping, do it on Amazon. I don't know. If it's those things that wear you out and drain you, where when you're getting to the end of the year, you're going, I'm just tired. Don't let the things of the season bog you down to where you're forgetting about the purpose of the seasons. Budget. Budget for those things so that finances don't become an issue for you. If you say, I have this much to be able to give to the season, plan for that and then stick to it. So that at the end of the year, you're not saying, oh man, I'm broke again and I'm starting out the new year in the hole. Budget for what your season is going to require. And then lastly, as a daily practice, pause. When we choose to pause, we slow down and consider our days. We're able to see the unique opportunities to celebrate and share the love of Christ during this particular season. If you need a moment, just pause. Actually, I do have a few minutes, so I wanted to share this. This is a funny story. I work at an alternative ed school in Stockton, and we got a bunch of our schools together this last week, and I brought one kid. I won't share his name, but he, as soon as we got there, he hopped out of the car, and he was like this. He was looking around for somebody to fight, right? He wanted to fight, and as soon as he gets, I know that kid. I met him at Bear Creek, you know, like, they were... He had bad blood with people, okay? And we played this game of kickball. It was actually the Manteca school against our school. And he did good. Like, he was up to bat or kick, and he kicked it. And he got onto first base. He's running the first base. And then the next kid comes up, and he kicks the ball, and it goes into the outfield. And my student, he just starts running. Like, he didn't understand the whole rules to the game of kickball. And he's running, and he turns second base when the guy in the outfield catches the ball. And everybody on the sidelines yelling at him, hey, go back, go back. You got to go back to first, right? And the kid from the outfield starts running towards him with the ball, because with the ball, you tag him with the ball. Well, he sees this kid running towards him, and he goes, what are you doing? And he starts to come at him like he was going to fight him. But he paused, and in that moment, he took a step back, and he walked away. And we were like, whoa. I was on the sidelines, so I was kind of laughing, because I saw what the exchange was. He didn't understand the rules of the game. This guy did, and when he started coming at him, he was thinking to himself, this guy wants to fight me. He's coming at me, so I want to fight him. His practice that he put into play was pausing. And when he paused, he was able to compose himself. This is a guy who's a fighter, right? He's in and out of court right now all the time for fighting. He took a moment to pause, analyze the situation, which are all things that he put into practice from his counseling, and walk away. And all the admin saw it, the principal saw it, I saw it, and we actually applauded him and said, good job. You paused. You put the tools into place that allowed you to walk away from a situation that you knew that you weren't supposed to engage in. I was like, good job, man. And I don't know, I might buy him a donut or something on Monday and say, good job walking away. And of course, we did say, okay, you got to go home. You know, we're not going to suspend you, but today you got to go home from the field trip. Sometimes we might not understand the situation in front of us, and we're going to want to puff up. We're going to want to swing. We're going to want to fight. We're going to be angry. And we just have to take a moment to step back, analyze the situation, and pause and pray. Remove yourself from that situation and walk away. When we pause, we're able to slow down, consider our days. We're able to see unique opportunities to celebrate and share the love of Christ during this particular season. Sometimes that pause will reveal to you, oh, instead of doing this, maybe I should do this. Romans chapter 12. Go ahead, next slide, Daniel. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Next slide, Daniel. In this preparing, by preparing, it provides confidence. Okay. But always expect the unexpected. In the chaos of the season ahead of us, we can prepare all that we want. We can pray, we can plan, we can pause. But there's always going to be something that happens that's not going to be expected. We can go in with confidence, with preparation of the season, but plan also for the unexpected. Expect the unexpected. In the unexpected, in all those other little things, faith brings comfort, and comfort yields peace. In all the little things that may happen, trust. Trust God. He's got this. He's in control. He knows all the little things. That faith will bring you comfort. And in the comfort of Christ, you will experience that peace of the season. That's really what the season is all about, is the peace. Peace is at the center of God's will, and God's will is for you. So if you want to take a picture of that, write that down, okay? Peace is at the center of God's will. He wants you to be at peace. That's why he sent us the Prince of Peace. That is Jesus. Okay, so the last thing I want us to do, I want to look at a Hebrew text or a Hebrew tradition, okay? Daniel, next slide, please. In the Hebrew calendar, okay, all of these holy days, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, they happen in the seventh month of their calendar, right? In that seventh month, they celebrate like we do, okay, as Christians, as believers of the coming of Christ. However, for them, they take the whole sixth month. It's called Elul, I believe is how you pronounce it. I wasn't a Hebrew scholar, so I'm not sure. But in Elul, okay, they take the whole 30 days prior to Rosh Hashanah, and they prepare themselves for the season. In the middle of the planning of this upcoming season for them, they have to, let me see here. They remind themselves, and this is the term that caught me when I was reading this article about this, says that no matter what's going on in the world, returning home is possible. This is where I wanted it to maybe hit us hard this morning, is that when we come into this church in particular, there's a sign that says, welcome home, right? And a lot of times we refer to the congregation as family, and we do welcome you when you guys come into the room as welcoming you home. I believe that a lot of us, and a lot of us that aren't here as well, are in need of a call back home. It's no secret that over the past couple years here at Northgate, we've gone through some transition that's been extremely difficult. When Miles left, right, we entered, because Miles was here for several years, and when he left, we went into sort of a spiral of trying to figure out what is going on. What is going on, right? And we've walked through it, and you that are here, you've remained faithful, right? You're here, and we're all still together, and this is still home for a lot of us. But I think for a lot of us in this room, and for those that are not here this morning, have disconnected in some ways. Maybe not necessarily physically, because you're in the room. Some also have left physically. But in our hearts, we've had periods of time where we've been disconnected. And some of us may still be in that place. This is the call. Return home. Returning home is possible for anybody. That's what Jesus offers to us. When I think about the thief on the cross who lived his life away and apart from God, at the end of his life, he returned home. And Jesus said, surely today you will be with me in paradise. This season, in a preparation of this season, and a transition into a new year, the call is to return home. Not just to the church family, but to the center of God's peace. Knowing that all the little details throughout this season, God is in control. Return home, returning to the heart of Christ. So even though Christmas and the new year is still 2 months away from us, let's approach everything that is important with a warm-up, so that when it does arrive, we're ready and we're open for what God has for us for the season. So the rabbis, they declared that the entire month of Elul that precedes Rosh Hashanah is meant for soul preparation and spiritual accounting. In this time, okay, you are to contemplate your life, take stock of where you are, who you are, and who you're meant to be. Okay? It's a preparation about getting back into right relationship with other people in our lives, other people in our churches, with ourselves, with God, and with community. One of our core values here at the church is inner self. This is your responsibility, and nobody else can do it for you. The relationships that you maintain with others on an interpersonal relationship and an interpersonal level is up to you. If you want them, you've got to work at them. If you want a relationship with Jesus, you've got to put in the work. You've got to put in the time. If you want to know Jesus and the power of his resurrection, you need to pray. You need to spend time with him. You need to pause. So we spend this time to repair and reconnect evaluate the position of our heart and where we're at currently with ourselves and with others around us. The practice of Elul starts with the blowing of the shofar, which some of us have heard. And when it begins to blow, it blows each day for the entire month. And one rabbi says that the shofar calls us to wake up from our sleep. And he writes in the Mishnah Torah, search your ways and return into teshuvah, which means examine your souls. Wake up, O sleepers. It's time to rise. I believe that's where we're at, Northgate. It's time to wake up. He's calling us back home. Let's wake up. So on the first day of Elul, it's celebrating Moses ascending Mount Sinai after the incident with the golden calf. And Moses stayed there for 40 days, waiting and pleading for forgiveness for the people. And on Yom Kippur, God gives Moses the second set of tablets, which indicates a reconciliation. The tablets were broken the first time, and he gives them a second set. and he reconciles the relationships that have been broken. And this journey mirrors the process that we're supposed to go through in this season, assessing our lives, recommitting to our core values and our best selves. Another rabbi says, the high holy days only work when you do your own work. Too many of us come to this season with expectations that something will happen to make this season meaningful. But after prayer services, we discuss over lunch, or we'll talk about, you know, how did the pastor's sermon move you? What is he calling you to? Or how has he called us into action? Or whether the worship team sang a beautiful song, or how sufficiently it moved our hearts. But I can tell you this, the degree to which the holy days or the holidays are meaningful this year for you will be in direct proportion to the amount of time you set aside to do your own personal soul preparation, reflection, and accounting. That's my call for us this morning, you guys. Let's wake up. Let's return home in the next 40 days or whatever it is before Thanksgiving. Let's prepare our hearts for the season that is before us so that we can find those little times. This season is the most beautiful time of the year to be able to find someone to give them a gift and just say, God loves you and I love you too. I want us to walk into November and December with our eyes completely fixed on Jesus. And that might mean, for some of us, restoring those broken parts. Moving from brokenness to wholeness. Again, walking in confidence of who we are in Christ and who we are as a church. I'm excited, you guys. I'm excited about what this means for us. If we draw close to God, repair some broken things, we can walk in wholeness and we can be powerful. He wants to give us the power as a church to be effective, to be loving, to be caring, and to be significant in this community. Let me pray for us. Worship team, you guys, come on up and lead us. Ready my soul. God, I pray that you would ready our souls, that for those of us who wait on the Lord, that you would renew our strength, that we would rise up on wings like eagles and soar. God, I pray for the condition of this church, of our hearts, individually and collectively, as a congregation, that the broken parts would be restored. As the tablets were broken, God, may you repair them and reconcile who we are in you, that we would walk into a season of thanksgiving and a season of celebration of the Christ coming, God, with hearts that are whole and full, with our eyes fixed on you through prayer. God, may we plan out times to say thank you, to give a gift, to say I love you, to say you love us, and to pause. God, you are good. Your love endures forever, and we worship you. I pray this in your name. Amen.